Mario, you want to get us started? How long have you been playing music?
I've been playing since I was 14, I guess. Started playing the guitar, and then I didn't start writing until I was 18, and I moved to Marble when I was 18. So that's been what, 41 years now, and that's when I started writing my first songs. I got a 12-string guitar from a friend of mine who used to be a bus driver up in Marble. When I first got there, he had a 12-string Martin, 12-string Martin guitar, and he was a left-handed player, so I really loved the sound of it. Okay, and then so he went out to do something, and I grabbed his guitar, and I just started making beautiful, beautiful noises with it, and I just fell in love with the sound of a 12-string. And so he was on his way. He was going to be going to Denver, and I said, "Hey, Jamie," his name is Jamie Waite. I said, "Jamie, why don't you buy me a guitar? You know, I had $365 to my name when I got there, and I said, here's 365 bucks. You know, can you get me a good guitar?" He goes, "Well, I can't get you a Martin, but I'll get you a real good guitar." So he got me a Takamine, which they ended up calling oh, what do you call that? Where the company gets sued?
Oh,
Yeah, it was a lawsuit guitar. And it was because they were copying, Takamine Guitar Company was copying Martin to the T. So basically, I got a cheap Martin. So they got sued, and this is the one I got now is a Takamine, but it's got a different, I mean, the name of the Takamine on my old guitar, the 76, it's even shaped like the Martin logo on top of the guitar. Everything about it was a Martin, you know. So anyways, they ended up getting sued. The company had to change their way of making guitars. So I've been playing for, you know, quite a few years. I don't think I've gotten any better at playing guitar. You know, some people do, some people don't. I just never did.
Well, then you just started really good.
I mean, I just a lot of the songs I played by ear. I didn't really know a lot about what I was doing until I started playing with my producer, my buddy, my brother, Larry Good, and Doug Whitney, you know, my bass player. So I learned a lot of technical stuff of, you know, of what I was doing that I didn't know that I was doing, you know. So that was a huge, huge help for me. And when I started playing with these guys, you know, I hadn't played in front of anybody. I started playing when I was 18 at the lodge, and we played for like 3 years. Myself and Dwayne Bemis, who I came up here with, his family, and he would sing with me because I was too shy, you know. And I'd try to sing, and I'd sing real, real soft where you couldn't hear me, and people would holler, sing louder," you know. Well, now they can't shut me up, you know, and I sing too loud. But anyways, and then Jamie, of course, my buddy Jamie, and we'd sit there and we'd sing at the lodge on the front porch, and you know, the tourists would come around, and it was a lot of fun. But then it was about 1980 when I stopped singing totally in front of everybody, you know, anybody. I just, you know, I kept writing songs, and I kept writing songs, but I just never sang in front of anybody until I was in my 50s. About 8 years, 7, 8 years ago, I started singing in front of people. And Larry and Doug were, and there was another buddy of mine, Roger Neal. He's the one that really pushed me to, "Oh, Mario, you gotta start singing. I want to hear you sing, you know." So, anyway, that's how it all started. I just got to where I didn't want to die and have any regret or be old and say, you know, I should have sang. I should have got my guitar. I should have let people hear my songs, you know. And this first song that I'm gonna do is called Tag Along. And the way I write music, a lot of times the musical could just come to me, and the songs and lyrics would just come to me. Well, this song, the lyric came first, the one word, tag along. And Amanda, my daughter over there, she and I went to her favorite store, Lowe's. You know, I had to go buy. She hates that store, but anyway, because I spend hours in there when I get there. But anyway, yeah. Her and I had to go, and I was, you know, I'm a construction guy. have my own construction company, and we had to go buy materials for a client. And so as we were in town, my oldest daughter, Monique, and my granddaughter, Asha, you know, Monique calls me up and says, "Hey, Dad, Asha, she was 2 years old. Asha and I want to meet you for lunch." So I said, "Oh, okay, well, we'll meet at the Burger King," which is no longer there, which kind of upsets me a little bit. But anyways, we, Amanda and I went over there, and Asha and Monique, they were walking in, and I said, Amanda, look what a good, good mother your big sister's being. Look how she turned out to be such a great mom, you know. And look how she turns around and checks on her tag along, you know. And I said that word, and I said, and I freaked, man. I stopped in my tracks, and Amanda said, "What's wrong, Dad?" I said, "What did I just say?" She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "No, what did I just say?" And she goes, Monique, a good mom. No. What I just said a word. What did I just say? And then finally she goes, Monique checking on her tag along. And I ran to the car, and I grabbed a piece of paper and a pencil, and I wrote down tag along. And I could not wait to get home to my guitar. And because all these flood of emotions, you know, my girls are all grown, and all these memories that I have of them being little, you know, from the time they were born, of course, and until, you know, they were just little tag-alongs following behind us, you know, and it was just such a great feeling that I wrote this song.
All right. Cool.
So I'd like to play it for you, if that's all right.
Well, please do. Please do. We're excited to hear it.
All right. How's that for levels?
That sounds pretty good.
Okay. Here we go. Sitting so far away from the life I live, no more crazy times, no more reckless mind. And she could never know how she changed me. So getting myself together, planning ahead, perceptions of who I was, lost in the thread, and I could hardly wait to hold her close. Hard to hold her close. First time she said to me, "Daddy, please carry me. My legs are a little weak. The hill is just too steep." I didn't hesitate to swoop her up, pretending she's too big, and stumbling around, listening to her laugh, saying, "Mommy, see, I'm a big girl now. Look at me." Her needs supersede anyone wanting me. Everything I couldn't see is walking right behind me. She's my little tag-along, my tag-along. Oh, my baby tag-along. Carrying her off to sleep, wishing her angel dreams, yeah. Seeing our baby smile, wanting to stay a while. And she could never know how she changed me. So melting this stormy heart with rainbow days, weary of the fragile path, keeping her close, respectful of the time we had. It goes too fast. Years have slipped away. She has grown, and it's fun to see her and her man in front of me turn their heads us to see. Checking on their little tag along, their tag along. Oh, their baby tag along. When I'm feeling down, I reminisce of the love I found. They set the stage for who I am. Makes me proud of all of them. Lord, I miss my little tag-alongs, my tag-alongs. Oh, my baby tag-alongs. Whoa, they've grown, they've grown, they've grown. My little tag-alongs. My baby tag-alongs.
All right, that was great. Oh,
thank you, thank you.
Thank you, Mario.
You know that what I just got a memory of something? One of my nightmares was singing a song in front of a bunch of people and then hearing crickets. That's what, after you're done singing. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that same feeling trying to tell a joke on air. You never hear anybody laugh. It's kind of it's an awful feeling. But you did great.
Thanks.
Next, I wanted to play a track off of the CD that right. you just produced. And there's actually, the song is called Midnight, and it's about your mom, right? And there's a picture yeah. of your mother and father on the back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about a song that, I guess I'll go just right into it. Now, my mother was killed by a drunk driver when I was 15. So I left, or I had to leave because I was in trouble as a kid growing up in Detroit. I just didn't go to school. I wasn't mean or nothing. I just didn't go to school. I had a learning disability, and I got picked on a lot. So anyhow, what I remember about my mom, or what I remembered once I moved to Marble, I just started missing her like crazy one time. And I remember that she always got up at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning to get my dad ready to go to work. And I mean, I'm talking, she would, you know, she's Native American, Apache, and my dad was Spanish. Two people who hated each other, right? But anyhow, they managed to make it work. And I remember my mom is always being up at all hours of the morning or late night or morning. And she would get up at 3 o'clock because I'd hear her, their alarm would go off. And she'd have to fix my dad's breakfast, fix his lunch, get him ready to go to work. And then there were days when, and during the winter, when it would snow a lot, you know, and she'd go out there in her nightgown robe and start cleaning off the car, getting it ready for my dad, you know, starting it, warming it up. And that's just the way things worked back then, I guess. That's just the way my dad treated my mom, I guess. Anyhow, I remember going out there and helping her shovel the car off. She would get upset with me and because she didn't want me up that late, you know, or early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, I could tell that she was glad I was out there. So this song, that's what it's about. It's about her Native American heritage, and it's about what I imagine life was like when she left, you know, left the San Antonio, that's where she's from, and went to Michigan on her own. You know, she was only 14, you know, when she, and there's a whole different story that I found out in my 40s that my oldest sister decided to tell me that was just horrific of what happened to her, you know, and why she ended up with my dad to begin with. And nobody told me because I was too young at 40 years old, you know. But anyways, and the real reason she told me is because I wrote this song. I said, Esther, you got to hear this song that I wrote for Mom. And she started crying, you know, and she goes, oh, I need to tell you the real story of what happened. Mm. But that's a whole different thing.
Thanks for tuning in. We've got a special guest in the studio tonight, Mario Villalobos, a local musician and artist from up in Marble. And his daughter, Amanda, as well.
Hello.
Thank you guys so much for being here. And we're kind of highlighting your debut album, Colorado Nights. And we were just talking about that last song, Blackbird. And I just kind of wanted to ask you, I was wondering if you could talk about how you write your songs and how they come to you.
Well, a lot of times the music will come first. It's kind of funny, you know. Without having real education, you wouldn't think that you could write. But back in the late 70s, I started writing songs, and it just came easy to me to write a song, you know. And here's the thing that's really important that people need to know is when somebody is writing something, anything, a poem or anything, here's what could have happened to me and didn't, because of two people that I call brothers, you know, Dwayne Bemis and also Jamie Waite, you know, the guy who bought the guitar for me. I wrote my first songs with lyrics in the April 77, something like that. And the song totally sucked. You know, I mean, it was just a terrible song, but it was my first song that I had written with lyrics. And what could have happened is Dwayne or Jamie, either one of them could have said, "Mario, that's the worst thing I ever heard." And I probably would have never written another song, but they didn't. They said, "Mario, man, that was really good. You should keep writing." Well, I went on a songwriting frenzy after they said that. But I mean, so my point is, if you hear somebody for the first, don't discourage them, because you never know what could happen. You know, you never know what damage you could do to somebody. Uh-huh. So I mean, so I, in my whole life, I've always been a good cheerleader, and I got that from that one experience. You know. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't realize this till years later, but I was thinking about that, I don't know, about 20 years ago, and I thought, you know, them guys could have said, you know, "Mario, that was terrible," and I would have never wrote another song, but they didn't. They encouraged me. Mm-hmm. So I kept writing, but anyhow, years later, you know, I had other people who were educated, and they heard me writing songs, and they were like, "Oh, man, if Mario can do it, you know, I can do it." Well, you know, they tried and they couldn't do it. And what I discovered, it doesn't matter what education level you are. You can either write a song or you can't. You can either do a painting and make an incredible thing, or you can't, you know. It doesn't take anybody with an education to do something like that. You or something like this. You can just, it comes from feelings, you know, it comes from living. It comes from seeing other people's lives, you know, I have no real formula for writing. It's other than I can say that the stars and the moon and all that stuff got to be lined up just right. I don't write a lot of songs a year. I just write a few songs a year. It was funny. I was talking to my producer friend, brother Larry Good, and we were talking about songwriting, and I was bragging one time, pounding my chest, you know, saying, "Hey, Larry. Yeah, you know, I'm being all tough guy like, and yeah, you know, 1 year I wrote 20 songs in 1 year." And he looks at me. He goes, "Yeah, that's pretty good, Mara. I used to write 20 songs a week." And that's what a professional songwriter does. I mean, he's amazing. Him uh-huh. and, you know, Doug Whitney, my bass player. And by the way, I wanted to mention Doug. He played a fretless bass on that last song, Midnight. Mm-hmm. I never even heard of a fretless bass, but it just has such a beautiful tone to it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And so I just wanted to let everybody know that I got lucky. I got hooked up with some incredible musicians, you know, who really lived life and were professionals at their craft. And for me to be involved in that was just crazy. I mean, I don't know. I just got so lucky, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
like, and you've had a lot of encouragement and support.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Without that, you have nothing. Mm. You know, and I'm talking about, you know, I've always been my girls' biggest cheerleaders. Whatever they want to try, go for it, do it. Don't be, you know, if you screw up, who cares? You know, you learn from it, and that's the way my guys treated me. You know,
and your daughters sort of were your cheerleaders to kind of get you to write, to get this album together, right? Is that you said your daughters were the ones that kind of pushed you to...
Yeah, absolutely. Without them, you know, that's what the whole thing, that's how the whole thing started, is I had written a kid's book, you know, The Whistler, for Amanda and for all my daughters. But that's where it started. And then I have always wanted to do a CD for my kids. So it's something they'd have forever and ever, you know. So I talked to Larry and him and Doug and Paul Valentine, my drummer. They said, yeah, you know, we'll help you out. You know, it's not going to be cheap, but we'll help you out. And compared to what they should have charged me, it was cheap. You know, because all the hard work they put into it. I mean, it took a year for Larry. Producers, I don't know how Larry sleeps, you know, or, you know, when he starts a project. It's just all these sounds and guitar parts and drum parts and horn. I mean, everything that he did to this album, he did. I just don't know how he slept, you know. I mean, I don't know when he had time to sleep to think about it. And, yeah, but my girls were and my wife, you know. Well, let's throw my wife in there, you know. I don't want to get my butt kicked when Chris, you know, when I get home and have Christy whip up on me. Yeah, she, of course, she had a big influence on a lot of my earlier writings, you know, that are songs that I had written for her, you know. Uh-huh. And, yeah, it's been a great ride, you know. And I think I felt a lot more comfortable later, doing it later than I would have had I done it earlier in life, you know. Mm-hmm. I always worked and worked and worked for my girls. I always wanted to make sure they had everything they needed. Not so much what they wanted, but everything they needed, you know. Mm-hmm. So music was always on the back burner. But, you know, once they left the house, I was like, okay, I have extra money left.
Not even time just
money. That's right. Yeah,
well, next, I think you're going to play a song called Blackbird.
Yeah, I can play you Blackbird. It's kind of funny. Blackbird is how it... This, I'm going to play it the way I presented it to my producer, Larry. And the way he... What he turned it into was just amazing. He calls it a swampy feeling is what he turned it into. But I'm going to play it the way just me and my guitar and how I presented it to him. So here it goes.
All right, here we go.
Hold on a sec. My guitar sounds out of tune. That's a little out of tune, but here it goes. Blackbird. Staring out my window from the bed we used to share a love. Crooked pane and on the wall, straighten it and then it falls. Memories haunted at my soul. It's been some time since I let you go. If I'm gonna settle to this life, I'll have to free you from my mind. Blackbird flying out my door, I won't see her anymore. I played the hand that I received, and she got the best of me. See her flying blackbird. See her flying blackbird. Blackbird flying out my door. I won't see her anymore. She took the love she saved for me. I guess that's how it's gonna be. See her flying blackbird. See her flying blackbird. Recall the day we went to get that ink put on your leg. You said it hurts, I held your hand. You said you want it anyway. Blackbird knocking at your door, a dream you had many times before. And when it woke you from your sleep, I always put your mind at ease. Late at night I see her face, I'm forced to look the other way. She tried to lie to save my mind, she couldn't hide it all the time. Blackbird knocking at my door, I stumble back and hit the floor. The dream you had, it turned to mine, but I refused to let it shine. See her smiling, Blackbird. See her smiling, Blackbird. Blackbird knocking at my door. The shadow glides across the porch. The end is near that I can see, and I'm about to set me free. See her crying, Blackbird. See her crying, Blackbird. Blackbird haunted all your days, why you put him on your leg? I see them sitting on the fence, I have to pull the window shade. Blackbird flying out my door, I won't see her anymore. I played the hand that I received, and she got the best of me. See her flying, Blackbird. See her flying, Blackbird. Blackbird flying out my door, I won't see her anymore. She took the love she saved for me, I guess that's how it's gonna be. See her flying, Blackbird. See her flying, Blackbird. Blackbird flying out my door, I won't see her anymore.